Chandi. Chandi. Put the microphone closer to him.
Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this analogy as follows. Bhakti, or devotion, may be compared to tushti, satisfaction, because they both take the form of pleasure. Pradeshanu, experience of the Supreme, and pushti, nourishment, are analogous, because both sustain one's life. Finally, virakti, detachment, and shuddhapaya, cessation of hunger, may be compared, because both free one from further hankering, so that one may experience shanti, or peace. It's a long purport, we'll just read part. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The bhakti experience is very clearly described in this verse, assisted by Srila Jiva Goswami. Everyone understands the experience of eating. So by using the example of eating, the Bhagavatam brings home the bhakti experience for you. It is not a theoretical overload in bhakti. The philosophy all can be realized depending on your application. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutasto vijitendriya, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. The enlightened devotee is satisfied, triptatma, the self is satisfied because there is both wisdom and realization. In other words, the wisdom is applied. You enter the bhakti laboratory and you get the experience when you follow the instruction manuals in the laboratory. So what could be so confusing about that? The question is, will we apply the wisdom? Will we follow the laboratory manual? Initiation means the formal enrollment in the bhakti laboratory, the formal connection to the Guru Parampara. Initiation, as you've heard several times, is the beginning. It's not the end. It is a chance to obtain the attention of Krishna by pleasing Krishna's representatives. When you eat, you have no doubt that if the food is good, you're getting a beneficial experience. Especially if you've been hungry, you've been afflicted by hunger pangs. The more you eat, that hunger, those hunger pangs go away. So Srila Jiva Goswami explains the three elements compared to eating. Bhakti, loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, gives pleasure, just like when you eat some nicely prepared food. And in our case, of course, the food is offered to Krishna, so actually one is tasting the bhakti. So you get pleasure from loving devotional service to Krishna, but as we pointed out yesterday,
In the higher stages of bhakti, you don't even worry about your own pleasure. You're simply 100% focused on Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna, he takes care of your pleasure, even though you're not thinking about it. And in fact, the devotee enjoys pleasure millions of times more intense than Krishna does. So therefore, Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his own devotee. How can there be pleasure in sacrifice? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that at the beginning of creation, along with the insertion, you might say, of countless living entities into the material cosmos, also comes instructions for yajna. And human life is meant for yajna, for sacrifice. By hearing from Krishna, we can deprogram ourselves from the crazy notion that our life is meant for our being a direct controller and enjoyer. Who wants to live a life of sacrifice? I want to live a life where I am enjoying as much as possible. Never mind at whose expense. If I don't know them, well, what can be done? All you can do is try your best in this world while enjoying, not to hurt so many persons, not to hurt the environment. That's about as best as it gets in Kali Yuga. Yet, if we look at our life, live materially, there's sacrifice going on at every moment. Analyze every activity of material affairs, and you'll find sacrifice. Sacrifice of physical energy, sacrifice of your health, sacrifice of your time, sacrifice of your convenience, and of course, sacrificing as illusory energy corrodes your body and mind. When you think about it, people are eager to sacrifice, but they are not intelligent enough to see that they're sacrificing. They want a circumstance that looks like they're going to be the direct enjoyer, and then they don't look at the fact that they're sacrificing. Srila Prabhupada would explain that actually everyone wants to subordinate in sacrifice. He gives the boy-girl example. The boy, in spite of his, if he has a macho ego, which he won't have if he lives in New Zealand, but he's thinking, oh, I want to be subordinate to this girl. It may be hard to detect the spirit of yajna sacrifice in that way, but that's what's going on. Let me become overwhelmed by your charms. I don't mind fighting the world for you. And the girl, she's thinking, I want to be subordinate to you. You will, by my subordination, solve all the problems of material existence. There'll be peace, security, emotional fulfillment. No one is thinking, I shall subordinate myself. But actually, they're not thinking that directly, but that's what's going on. In other words, I shall perform yajna. I shall perform sacrifice. The same thing on a bigger scale in terms of nationalism. It's very little patriotism and nationalism in New Zealand, but still, it's there to a small degree, and in other parts of the world, to a great degree, persons become patriotic. Let us sacrifice for our land of birth. Those from Germany, you can remember the concept, Das Vaterland, the Fatherland. In India, the nationalism is there. I remember hearing from one officer in the Indian Army, and he so dramatically and poignantly presented the nationalistic feelings. The love of my country flows in my veins, thicker than my blood. That's a very striking example. If you go to the USA, there are flags everywhere. On lawns of people's houses, fast food outlets, anywhere, funeral homes, whatever, there's flags flying. Perhaps, I don't think Canada is so over-the-top patriotic, is that so? Yadubarbu? Nah, not. So, this means subordination. I will sacrifice my interest for the nation. I've got to sacrifice for something. During the Vietnam War in the USA, when so many students and young people were protesting because they didn't want to be sent to the jungles of Vietnam to fight in a war they couldn't understand. And I think at that time, they couldn't vote. Is that correct, Yadubar? The age for voting was 21 or something? Yes. We can't even vote, and yet we're being sent to war. So they were huge protests. We don't want to do this yagya. We don't want to sacrifice in this way. But then there were some young people who were very patriotic. I remember a scene where the young people who were protesting, they were blocking the entrance to where you go to register for the army, because by the law, then, everyone had to register for the army to be considered. The draft, it was known as. And those who didn't go were known as draft dodgers. It was against the law. So there was a big young people's sit-down strike, and they would block the entrance to the office where you would go to register for the army, which you had to do when you're 18. I know it sounds strange in New Zealand, but you had to do that at the time. So all these young students were sitting down and with their signs and chanting slogans, and then along comes a goody-goody young person. He was patriotic. He wore a button on his shirt. America, love it or leave it. And he and all the students were blocking the way to the registration office. He literally climbed on top of them running. I'm ready to sacrifice. I'm ready to die in the jungles of Vietnam for my country. And the newspapers caught the picture of it as he's hurtling over all the draft dodges with a completely enthusiastic look on his face. I'm ready. Take me. Take me. I'm ready to die for my country. I'll never forget that. It shows you the power that human beings have for sacrifice. So bhakti recognizes that power and, of course, directs it toward the supreme lovable object. Sacrifice for Krishna is what bhakti is all about. The system of sacrifice comes directly from the supreme. And as we know, in this day and age, the foremost form of yajna or sacrifice is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So those who are taking first initiation, they are formally enrolling in the bhakti laboratory, and particularly in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. The 10 offenses, as Vishakha Mataji was explaining, can all be avoided, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just by attentively performing that yajna of chanting Hare Krishna. We tried to explain yesterday that you cannot battle your mind directly. You're not strong enough. You can't battle the illusory energy directly. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. The magic show is too good. What you can do is chant Hare Krishna properly and carefully, and then you'll be safe. You'll be connected to Krishna through sound vibration. How long it will take, us to accept that simple fact? It varies from individual to individual. At some point in your spiritual development, you'll have to cross that bridge. Just like to get to Nirgupta Vraj, there's only one way. You've got to go across that suspension bridge. Similarly, to properly situate oneself in bhakti, one has to submit to the yajna of proper chanting of Hare Krishna. That japa is sacrifice. As soon as the tongue touches the holy name, there's an effect. Lord Chaitanya explains that the chanting of Hare Krishna doesn't even wait for initiation, but the initiation gives you accreditation and gives you support. And in this world of illusion, we need all the support we can get. So basically, the Sangha of devotees is the association of those seriously chanting Hare Krishna, seriously connecting with Krishna through sound. If you take that association of serious chanters seriously, naturally, you'll avoid the 10 offenses in due course of time. Still, you'll never think that you're chanting Hare Krishna well enough. So please get used to that transcendental fact. There's no limit to love. Most probably in material existence, there's that concept, I've loved enough. I've done enough for you. Things have reached that point. Books are even written about people who love too much. They are people who can't say no. I remember one Srila Prabhupada saying, we want to be Krishna's yes men and yes women. It's negatively stated in material existence that someone is a yes person. But we want to be Krishna's yes persons. And there's no question of ever loving Krishna too much, serving Krishna too much, giving Krishna too much. So therefore, we'll always be trying to improve our chanting. And as we explained some days ago, Lord Chaitanya himself said, I actually don't have any real taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Dadayavam Ijasa Mahajani, na Anuraga, no raga. The more that one chants carefully, the more you feel there's progress to be made. That's the way of love. There's no satiation in the example of bhakti compared to eating. The example breaks down when it comes to satiation, because when you eat materially, you soon lose interest in what you're eating, no matter how hungry you were before. But with devotional service to Krishna, you never lose your interest if you're following the process properly. So three things. Bhakti, devotion, gives pleasure. Just like with each bite of good food, you get pleasure. And the direct experience of bhakti nourishes your spiritual life, just like food nourishes the body. You get your strength in bhakti from the direct experience, not from theory and belief. And then finally, chudapaya, relief from material existence is compared to relief from hunger pangs. So all that's going on in devotional service. Pleasure, nourishment, and relief from material existence. Just like when you eat, what's going on? Pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger pangs. So this initiation ceremony is formal enrollment in the Bhakti Academy for getting those three things, pleasure, nourishment, and relief from material existence. For those taking second initiation, they are meant to display the qualities of brahmanas, and there should be some prominent brahmana activity in their life. Studying the Vedic knowledge, distributing the Vedic knowledge, worshiping the deity, teaching others to worship the deity, giving charity, receiving charity. And of course, the greatest charity to give is the bhakti experience. And the greatest charity to receive is the bhakti experience. Encouragement in bhakti. Someone who is taking second initiation should make sure that in their life they're always displaying at least some of the brahmana activities. And, of course, the brahmana qualities. All focus on basing your life upon wisdom. We want a true human culture. That means a wisdom culture, not a culture of learn by the school of hard knocks, because you'll never learn that way. The magic show of Maya is too great. Well, the brahmanas have a special responsibility to become the head of society, the brain. All parts of the body are necessary. And devotees are more than brahmanas, brahmana Vaishnavas. Brahmana is a material designation, but it can be used in Krishna's service for teaching, distributing knowledge, for doing puja, and so forth, worship of the deity. We ask for the blessings of all the devotees, especially our senior Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis, upon the devotees who are participating in this yajna. We can't make it in our spiritual life without good association. And now we may begin the yajna. You want to do the Akshman after that? Whatever you say. What do you want to do? The Akshman now or later?
Yeah.
All right. As you like. Do we have any kirtan? You're going to hand me the beads. You better look at them and see which names are on which beads.
So please remember that we clear the track around the room that's first right. We'll be on the back. Coming up in your base.
Hare Krishna.